Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So, Scott, we spoke yesterday for episode 175, and we speak now just after one further game, which is the Ottawa game. So, for me, we touched on DeBrusque and Marchand and Bergeron's, you know, continuing to click, and DeBrusque's, you just see his speed. He looks like he shot through out of a cannon right now, and that's when he's playing his best. And Marchand, he just seems to be much more like himself and whatnot. So that's great. One of the bigger takeaways for me from this game is just really watching Tyler Bertuzzi and see how he's doing. And again, like, I don't think he didn't have any points, but he did have 6 shots on goal. And that is a sign of somebody who is engaged in pressing and getting opportunities.
Yeah, and he led the team in 5-on-5 shot attempts. He had 8 5-on-5 shot attempts. It's like, I feel like I'm saying this after every game now, but you can just tell he's getting more comfortable. He's shooting more. He's being more aggressive. Like, he's not deferring as much, and yet he's also still making those really nice passes to help set up his line mates, his teammates. It's, you know, I thought he was involved on the forecheck. He was all around the net. It was like there were multiple times, both with his usual third line and a couple times they dropped him down to the fourth line to take a shift in Loco's spot. And it was like, you would just see, you know, chaos down low, and he's like right in the middle of it, just battling for pucks, you know, poking it free. Like, one time he had just like a clean steal, like just stripped the defender from behind as he started coming out of the corner. Like, this is what you want to see. It's like just that kind of tenacious work ethic. That, you know, it's funny because I don't know if you saw this or thought it at all, but I got like a couple tweets or saw a couple tweets from people, you know, maybe his first week or two, or, you know, his first handful of games, that were like, is it just me, or like, does Bertuzzi look kind of like almost disinterested, disengaged at times? And I don't think I had really seen that or thought that, but it seemed to be something that like some fans were seeing or wondering. And I think if that thought had crossed your mind, I imagine these last couple of games would have to, you know, have dispelled that. Like, he looks, you know, like you said, very engaged. He's just been very active and involved and in the middle of a lot of good things when he's been on the ice.
Yeah, I think Bruins fans oftentimes feel like when a so-called agitator or pest or bruiser, or, you know, joins the team, that their first game they're supposed to, you know, put somebody through the glass or start face washing. And you've made comments in the past recently about how Bertuzzi is not a major body checker, I guess, per se. Which, I, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't watch Red Wings games all the time. I've seen enough of him to know what kind of player he is, but I actually was surprised to notice that he's not that kind of player. So maybe that's why certain people thought he was disengaged, because he felt like he was probably going to be part of a larger plan in Detroit, and then, you know, goes to Boston and whatnot, and isn't dropping the gloves or whatever. But, you know, that's not the case. I mean, he's clearly interested in the behind the beast stuff. You would see that. I just think, you know, it's a lot of change for somebody, and that's all that really is, in my opinion.
Yeah. And not to keep just stealing points that Razor has made on Sunday Skate or during his EI interviews, but I just think like a player's perspective is valuable, where two of those early games were against his former team in Detroit. And like Razor has said, it's like, no matter what, no matter how professional you are, how happy you are to be on your new team or whatever, that's just a weird situation. Like you're facing guys that you were friends with, that you hung out with every day, that you were teammates with like literally 1 week ago. And, you know, so it's like, no matter how much you try to ignore that once the game starts and play your game and whatever, it's like human nature is like, you know, am I really getting as pissed at this guy as I would at, you know, some other opponent? Like, no, it's like, I was just going to battle that guy like 7 days ago. Like how much can I really kind of, him get on my nerves and me get on his.
Yeah, I mean, there's no greater example of that, Scott, than Adam Banks. You know, I mean, he goes from the Hawks, you know, the Minnesota powerhouse, to the District 5 Ducks. You know, and he's got the starter jacket with the Hawks, and now he's taking slap shots with Fulton Reed and Averman. Look, it's tough. It's tough. You know, this is an adjustment period there.
That's right. That's right. That could have been a cautionary tale. You know, we should have been on the lookout for that.
So, all right. So any other takeaways from this game in particular that you wanted to go over before we move on to some more macro storylines?
I mean, just, you know, I thought first two periods, like the Bruins weren't great. They looked a little off, gave up a lot of shots, 37 shots through the first two periods. And then third period, they like completely turned it around, clamped down, only gave up 4 shots in the third. Had a lot of offensive zone time. And it's like, that's, you know, that this game could have been trending towards another game like in Calgary, where they just give up a ton of shots. And it's like, well, I guess we're just going to have Linus steal one tonight. And it didn't go down that path. Like, they were able to, as a team, get it on track in the third period and be like, no, no, we're actually going to earn this win. Like, we're not just going to put it all on Ullmark. We can be better. And they were. And, you know, they've now had a few of these really strong third periods recently during this now, you know, 4-game winning streak. That, you know, that had been part of like the slippage, right? Was whether it was Edmonton or Chicago, like they seemed to just not have it in the third, ran out of steam, whatever, took it for granted. I don't know, but they have that. They've been the best third period in the team in the NHL all season. So it looks like they kind of have that back now, where they're, you know, even in a game where they weren't great the first two periods, they close it out strong.
Yeah, which I guess is a nice sign that they can turn it on when they want to, but it's a cautionary tale about, you can't rely on that, and you don't want to, if you're not playing the full 60 in the playoffs, it's, you know, chances are you're not going to win the ultimate prize. But yes, I mean, I think given the circumstance that they're in, where they are in the standings, where it is in the regular season schedule, they're just collecting points any way they can. And yeah, third period's been very strong for them all year. You made mention of Linus Ullmark and his performance today, in particular through the first 40 minutes of play. I'm going to throw it back into your side of the court for just something that you wanted to discuss about the idea of, you know, potentially using more than one guy in the playoffs, or is Swayman really just Ullmark's number two, or is there potential potentially more at stake between those two this year?
Yeah, I mean, so first, just like start with Ullmark. I feel like there's been, you know, there's been some talk recently of like a slump, or, you know, he hasn't looked like himself. And to me, you're really only talking about one, maybe two games. Chicago wasn't good for sure. And then the Minnesota game, I mean, he only gives up two goals that counted, but yes, he did technically give up two others that got called back by video review. But yeah, obviously, even early in tonight's game, I thought, you know, a little bit shaky. You know, the one Ottawa goal wasn't great. He had another, just total misplay where the puck slid off his stick into the slot and he recovered and bailed himself out. But then he just totally locked it down, especially in that second period. He was incredible. And then obviously not tested a ton in the third. But I think it's pretty safe to say they don't win that game without Ullmark being very close to the top of his game. And Swayman, you know, two straight shutouts, his last two starts after his own little mini slump. It's the idea of like potentially rotating them is, you know, I brought this up like a while ago. I think I mentioned on here, I asked Razorbud on the first Sunday skate with, you know, over a month ago. And it's like everyone's approach, Jim Montgomery has been asked about it, said he thought about it, but he doesn't anticipate doing it. And that feels like everyone's response is like, well, you know, it could work. Maybe it's not totally crazy, but you just don't do it. You know, everyone settles on one goalie for the playoffs. And all along I've been like, yeah, that's true. Like, I don't expect it to happen. But as I keep watching them, I'm just like, why not though? Like, I get that no one does it, but like they have historically great goaltending this season, and the overwhelming majority of it has come just by rotating Ullmark and Swayman. And they've both been, Ullmark has been great all year, and Swayman has been great basically since December. If they were two, you know, league average or slightly above average goalies, I'd say like, no, ride whoever's hotter at the time. But because they've just been both been so good, I just kind of keep coming back and like thinking to myself, like, this has worked all year. Is it really that crazy to consider keeping it going in the playoffs? I also think it would like eliminate some headaches around, you know, when would you like say you settle on Ullmark as your starter for the playoffs? What would it take to go to Swayman at some point? You know, usually that's a pretty long leash. We saw Tuukka Rask get a very long leash, even when he was playing with a torn hip labrum. So usually your starter gets a pretty long leash, and it's like, well, if you have a goalie as good as Swayman, does that shorten the leash? Does that, you know, create complications? Like, okay, what if you win a game and Ullmark's okay, not great? Like, would that change it, or does it have to be a legitimately bad game? I kind of feel like if you just have like a pure rotation, you just tell the guys, you know, hey, we're just going to continue what's been working all season. That eliminates a lot of it, and you can basically just ride that until, like, if one of them falters in a rotation, then fine. Then you go with the hotter hand. But I don't know. I don't think it's that crazy. And also, I will say, I just saw your college, Merrimack. They've been doing this, like, the entire second half of the year, including at the hockey semifinals and championship this weekend. So, you know, it's happening at other levels, and I do truly believe at some, it's happened a couple times in the NHL, but I do think at some point, like, it's going to become something we see more often. I don't know. Those are just kind of like my rambling thoughts on it, I guess. But I am increasingly thinking like it really wouldn't be that crazy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it.
I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Can you just clarify what the rotation you're speaking of would look like? Are you talking literally every other game or like every two games? Every other game.
Every other game. Exactly what they've been doing for months.
Yeah. I mean, I don't personally, like I don't love that just because I feel like there's a momentum factor in the playoffs that you guys, or not you guys, but like people would be discounting. Like, I feel like so Allmar goes out there and, you know, stands on his head for a game, or Swayman stands on his head for a game and makes 45 saves, and you're just going to reward him by sticking him on the pine just to have a rotation. And then also I feel like you get to a position where it's like, okay, you go to a game seven. It's like, I think it's a slippery slope. I think that, and I think it creates a lot of unnecessary, difficult decisions going into a game, into a series. I feel like if a guy is ailing or needs a rest or has had a couple of bad games and you want to change momentum in a series because you only have so much time, I'm all for it. But I don't want to just do a one-on-one-off split just to keep a guy fresh. Like, I'd ride the hot hand. And if the hot hand runs cold, give the other guy a chance. And if he becomes a hot hand, then ride him until he's not. Like, I don't mind giving both guys a net throughout the playoffs, but I don't like the every other game idea. I don't know. And I think it's difficult for the team, right? Like, your defenseman, like, you know, you have communication with your goaltender behind the net all the time, and it's different for each goalie. Obviously the Bruins are comfortable with both guys. I'm just saying I just think it's a little unnecessary. I think you can have, because of their tandem, I feel like you can keep them fresh, but not necessarily having to do it with every other game. I'm not saying it couldn't work, but I'm not the biggest fan of that.
Yeah. I guess my thing is, like, because what they're doing now in the regular season is working at historically great levels. Like, I wrote last week about how their numbers compared to the rest of the league are, you have to go back to the 80s to find a team whose goaltending was this much better than second place in the league or the league average. Because it's working at a historically great level, that's why I would keep it going. Like, because I would sit them down and say, guys, you're both playing great. What we've been doing rotating you has given us incredible goaltending all year, and that's the plan for the playoffs. We're just gonna keep going like we have in the regular season. And I actually think that makes decisions between games easier. Like, again, now if you get to a point where, you know, Allmark's great in game one, Swayman's okay in game two, Allmark's great in game three, Swayman's okay in game four, like, okay, then I'm fine riding Allmark the rest of the series. Like, I'm not saying, like, I'm strictly sticking to it no matter what. If one guy clearly gets hotter than the other, then I'm fine riding him. And if that happens between now and game one, then that could change my mind. But if they're both playing at this level that they've been at for months now, I think, like, for coaches, I understand, like, the decision's always going to be tough. But I think, like, that plan could actually be easier on the goalies themselves and on the players, where, you know, again, they don't have to deal with that. Like, yeah, okay, like, if I'm only okay, does that mean I'm getting benched? If, you know, if I have two tough games, am I out, or does it have to be three? You know, like, I think those decisions can actually be tougher, of knowing, like, exactly how, like, what is the point where you make a switch? You know, how much slippage does there have to be before you go to Swayman? How, you know, like, how do you measure, like, Ullmark's energy levels if he's wearing down at all? Like, that, I think that stuff is, might be even tougher to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I feel like it's very simple. It's, you go down 2-0 in a series, you give the other guy a look. And that's when I make a switch. If that case happens, if that scenario happens, I mean, I'm not going to totally discount the ideology of what you're discussing. And like, if they do that and it works, great. But like, I just, you know, to say that it makes their decision making easier, I would say like, you kind of bailed out on that because you were like, but also if they wanted to keep a guy and not stick to it completely, I wouldn't hate that. So you kind of bail out on your end. Because you can't advocate for the one-on-one off and then be like, but I wouldn't stick to it. So if you're gonna make the argument, I would say like, if they're in an elimination game in game six and goalie A, you know, makes 35-40 saves, keeps the Bruins alive, you're gonna go to the other guy in game seven just because it's a rotation. So
if he's been really good, yes. Like if
I don't like that.
This scenario, say Ullmark gets game one and you alternate from there, and you know, they've both had really good series, and Swayman just, you know, won in game six and was really good. If Ullmark's been good, then I'm still going back to him in game seven. Like, yeah, that's how it would work for me.
Well, you stick to your guns. I appreciate that. I respect it. I'm all for getting both guys action in the playoffs, but I would agree to disagree. I'm not a huge fan of the one-off scenario. I believe in momentum. I believe in guys getting confidence and riding it game to game. And if a guy flounders for a couple of games, like I said, if the Bruins were to go down 2-0 in a series, no matter who was in net for those two games, they go to the other guy. But I do believe that confidence, especially with goaltenders, and I know Swayman and Ullmark are a special breed this year, and I get what you're saying, and I know. But goaltenders really are a special breed, and when they are feeling confident, I just think that like you don't want to take them out of the cage unless you have to. And I really do believe in momentum with goaltenders. I really do. So interesting conversation. I wonder what other people would think. I just really think that there's a major difference between playoffs and regular season. And momentum is a huge part of playoffs. And that extends on a team level and an individual level. But this might be the first time Scott and I've ever had counter opinions on something.
And I understand, like, I'm in the very small minority on this because I don't think a lot of people agree with this side. And like I said, I would not be considering it if they weren't achieving historic success with the rotation. It's like that's ultimately what it comes back to for me, is like something is working so well that I look at it and I'm like, I don't know. I think I just want to continue doing that. You know, it's like, I would say that about anything. You know, if they had tried, like, say for some reason they had split up Bergeron and Marchand at some point this season, and we're like, yeah, but you know, we're going to put them back together when it matters. Well, let's say they split them up and their new lines are just cruising along at like a, you know, producing at a high level. My take would be like, I don't know, just keep doing what's working. Like, that's...
Are you still going?
Like, no.
Okay. I feel like, look, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I know this sounds obvious, and I'm not trying to, like, be condescending, but, like, the regular season, you play Philadelphia on a Tuesday, then you play Vegas on a Thursday, then you play the Islanders on a Tuesday. Like, you're playing, yeah, it's easier for that to work when you're playing every single team throughout 82 games, and everybody has different travel schedules, and you're catching certain teams on back to backs and other teams after 4 days off, and it's just different. But as a goaltender, I really feel like if you were to pull goaltenders out there, when you're playing the same team over the course of a series, game to game, you're living your opposition's shooting tendencies, you're studying them when you're not playing. I just feel like there's like the element of playing the same team multiple times in a series. Like it's not the regular season. And it's, like I said, it's like, it's one thing to do Swayman against the Islanders and then Ullmark versus the Ducks. But if you have you know, whatever, if you're playing Panarin and the Rangers for seven games, I feel like if you have a goalie who's playing well and he's learning about his opposition every game and their tendencies and whatnot, to stick him on the bench every other game, I just feel like might halt that process. And if they do this, Scott, and you're right, I'll get Scott was right tattooed across my ass. But if they're wrong, if you're wrong, then, you know, we'll have to call back to episode 176. But it is a good discussion. I understand what you're saying. I'm not discounting in all that. It's just not my cup of tea. In reality,
I would also, because I was just doing like a little bit of research on this, I believe the possibly the only team, but certainly the last team to win the cup with something that resembled a strict rotation was the Bruins in 1971-72. Jerry Cheevers and Eddie Johnston, they basically just rotated them game by game throughout that entire postseason. The Flyers did it when they got to the Cup Finals in 2010 and lost to Chicago. Brian Boucher and Michael Layton and neither one of those was it like exactly one game for one game for the next, but it was they never got more than like two games in a row. So like sometimes they would go two in a row and then go back to the other guy. So yeah, it's not like it's something that has never, ever been done. But it is obviously very rare, and especially rare for a team that actually makes a deep run, which I fully acknowledge, which is why they probably won't do it, because I don't really think I think like the influence that goalie Bob has, I think he has been on so many of these deep playoff runs and seen, you know, one goalie take charge that I can't imagine him really wanting to do this. So I don't think it will happen. But I don't know. I kind of think I'd be open to it.
Hey, well, you know what? You gave us 15 minutes of the pod, so I'm all for it.